I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you fail this week? Amen. The devil's roaring lion. I am preaching this in preparation for the message of Judas in the Gospel of Mark. Temptation. No matter where you're at, no matter how close you are to Christ, the devil still will not give up. A world-class runner from Kenya raced in the 2000 Sydney Olympics. I asked him one time, they said, how is it that Kenya turns out so many long-distance runners? He says, it's the road signs. I said, road signs? I said, yeah, beware of lions. Maybe we ought to put some of those up in our lives. Beware of the lion. Be sober, be vigilant, the Bible tells us. Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, do not be surprised when you're tempted. Chapter 4 of Luke tells us of the temptation of Christ, the Son of God, the living Son of God. His only companion in the wilderness is the Holy Ghost. By the way, sometimes our only companion in the wilderness is the Holy Ghost. Verse number 1. Let's read a couple verses today. Luke chapter 1, verse number 4. Have I told you how good it is to be back? I am so glad. I'm so glad to be back. 4, verse number 1. That's where we're going to start at, Wendell. Thank you. And Jesus, being full, if you circle words in your Bible, circle that word, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and then notice the next two or three words, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Sometimes God leads you to a place where you can trust Him and Him only. Any adult in this room today has faced that in their lives. Verse number 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil those days, in those days, he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil, during the temptation, the devil said unto him, here's the word, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Notice, three times, three temptations, Jesus each time answered him with the word of God. And he says, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. He said, I have that power, and I can give it to you. Notice verse number 7, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. By the way, the devil knew that he was the Son of God. He was just poking him. He said, cast thyself down from hence. I'm sorry, let me back up. Let me read all that again. I got sidetracked. And he brought him to Jerusalem, verse number 9, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Verse number 10, for it is written. Who's quoting Scripture here? The devil is. You know where he's quoting it from? Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. The devil knows the Bible probably better than we do. But he doesn't understand the power of it. He said, it is written. Some of you guys are looking to make sure I'm correct. I am. In the margin of your Bible, you should have the verse, Psalm 91, 11, and 12. That's a reference. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Verse number 12 now, Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, same as it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then verse number 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, if you underline phrases in your Bible, you ought to underline this, he departed from him. And then maybe circle four C's. The devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he doesn't stop, he doesn't quit. The devil has no new tricks because the old ones work so well. Here, let's walk through the Bible a little bit. Genesis chapter 3, he tempted Adam and Eve to sin against God. Guess what? They did. Job chapter 1, he went before God and asked permission to tempt Job, and he did. Zechariah chapter 3, he came to tempt the leaders of the nation of Israel. Mark chapter 1, Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, we see that he tempted Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He tempted and influenced Peter to rebuke Jesus concerning his trial, his crucifixion, and his death. In Luke 22, he tempted and succeeded in getting Judas to betray him. In 2 Corinthians 11, 4 through 14, we see where he uses false religion to tempt people to turn away from God. In 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians, he attempted the Apostle Paul to quit the ministry because of the hindrances of it. Revelation 12, 9, one day he'll be cast out of heaven, and all God's people said amen. Revelation 20, 10, he'll be cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever, and all God's people said amen and amen. But until then, the devil's a roaring lion. Beware of the lion. I put in your notes today, the word tempted means to try or test or entice with evil. Put this in your notes too. Temptation will commence, continue, and consume unless we have a plan for overcoming it. It'll commence, it'll continue, and it'll consume unless you have a plan. So what's my plan? Well, first of all, we need to realize and understand the pattern of the devil. Number one, the pattern of it. These attacks come in the form of or three different ways. The creating a desire to do, to be, or to have. 1 John 2 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not talking about don't love the plant, don't love the dirt, don't love the tree. It means don't love the enticements of the world, this worldly system. Be careful about getting so caught up in all the things. John Maxwell said years ago, he said, the greatest enemy to doing right is not necessarily doing wrong, it's just doing right outside of the will of God. Sometimes we let good things get in the way of the best things. Verse number 3, notice this. The Word of God says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. Here's this pattern. He's tempting his flesh. 40 days Jesus has been in the wilderness. The Bible says he's not eaten for 40 straight days. And the Bible says he's hungry. What's the first thing the devil does? He attacks that weakest point. He knows whenever you're struggling. And he'll attack that weakest point. Temptation often comes at a time of weakness. It is a dangerous time in a Christian's life when we are tired or hungry or sick. We're often the most vulnerable during those times. Vulnerable to rationalization. Vulnerable to self-pity. Vulnerable to allowing the devil a place that we never would give. At that time, we must practice, we must purposely desire to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul was a man that was often in pain, often sick, often many things happened to him, and he writes these words. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. So he says, for when I am weak, and I'm strong. Temptation comes at a time of weakness. Temptation leads us to have a desire of a misuse of power. God can forgive any sin. Sometimes, though, we're guilty of presumptuous sin. We know it's wrong. I know, how many of you ever said something like this? Don't raise your hand, but you said, I know it's wrong, but I know I shouldn't say this, but forgiveness from a lifetime of abusing our bodies through maybe overindulgence of drugs or alcohol or pornography or food or tobacco, there's forgiveness for that, but there are always consequences to it. Steve Currington is a perfect example of that. Steve Currington was a man that God led to create Reformers Unanimous, which is an incredible ministry. Thousands upon thousands have been helped through that ministry. It's basically an addictions recovery program. And here's the truth. All sin is addictive. And it's not just alcohol or drugs. It's more often it's the ones that most Christians struggle with is pride. Steve Currington was saved as a young man in a Christian school, graduated, started running with the wrong crowd. It wasn't long before he was the wrong crowd. 10 years he abused himself with alcohol and drugs. 10 years. In a car wreck, ended up in the hospital. The pastor came to visit him. Steve decided it was time to get back with God, and he did. God used him in a miraculous way. Several years ago, though, Steve was living in Rockford, Illinois, getting ready to get on a plane to come to Martinsville Baptist Tabernacle to speak. Walked out into the garage and had a heart attack and died. There's consequences to destroying your body. It'll eventually catch up with you. Consequences to dabbling in sin. It'll eventually catch up with you. He tempted him through the lust of the flesh. He tempted him through the eyes. Again, at verse number 5 and verse number 7, he says this: the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed in him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And last week, Tina and I have stood on some pretty high mountain peaks. And we've looked way out yonder, I can tell you. But we didn't see all the kingdoms. But he took him up and he showed him everything. And he said, this could be yours. We often fall into the trap of, I deserve this, or I'm owed this. We can't get people to work right now. Absolutely can't get people to work. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but one of the biggest reasons is this, is they think that they deserve something that they don't. And we've created a class warfare in our culture today where people see someone driving a really nice car and they say, well, I deserve that. Well, then work as hard as that guy has and you'll get that. But it's not right to take it from him so that you can have it. Amen. We call that thieves. But that's what we're creating in our culture today. And we've got millions of people that aren't at work. Literally. You ask anybody that's in any kind of business where they're short staffed, not talking about short in stature, Christy, you know, like a little dancing, vertically challenged men that you so are drawn to. Amen. All right. Oh, that's going out, and like 3 people are watching it on Facebook. Amen. All right. So, how many of you, let me ask you, and I'm going to raise my hand. How many of you have ever gotten to a place and you thought, well, I deserve more? Amen. I deserve. Boy, that the devil, he loves to hear that. He loves to hear, because he steps right into that and he milks that and milks that until he destroys you. He had the audacity to tempt Jesus Christ. Don't think for a moment that his pattern is that he won't tempt you and I. Not every promotion or position change is God's desire for you. Amber, pop that. I think I've got the next slide up. Pop this up. And I've seen this in my life. Satan has taken many a godly Christian to the mountain of temptation and offered them the power and prestige if they would follow his plan. Maybe more money, better position, better life for your family, whatever excuse you want to make. But the lion is roaring in the background. Be careful. Be careful. The things of this world will soon be past, and only what is done for Christ will last. We'll just short time. And verse number 9. Satan says he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And then he quotes Scripture. You know what he's dealing with? He's tempting him in the area of pride. Satan, like a good fisherman, baits his hook according to the taste of the fish. But he giveth more grace, God does. But he resists the proud. See, the plan of God was for Jesus to go to the cross, not through some sensational movement for him to be declared the Son of God. You know what Satan was trying to do? To change the plan. Pride is following through on a desire to be something that you're not. We do that all the time. A young attorney, I'll use a young attorney, they're easy to pick on. A young attorney had just gotten his first office and his first practice, and he was so excited. He sat down behind his desk and he looked at everything, and the phone's there and all of that, and he heard the front door open. And somebody walked in, and he thought, I'm going to be important. So he grabbed the phone and he picked it up. And he began talking to the phone. He said, yes. He said, I want to start depositions tomorrow. And boy, he was just railing right on, and the man walked in, and the young attorney looked at him and said, excuse me, sir, can I help you? And the man said, yeah, I'm here to hook up your phones. Ouch. Ouch. The temptation of pride will catch up with you. So we see the pattern of the devil. He's going to strike you. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He's not going to change because those work. What he's battled you with before and beat you with before is right where he's going to attack you again. And it could come underneath a myriad of things. It could be depression. And he knows that he can get you there. It could be bitterness or anger or rage. It could be any of those. But I'm thankful for number 2 today. The power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. The Word of God promises an escape. You have in your notes Psalm 119, with my whole heart, the psalmist writes, I have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not, what? Sin against thee. They provide. They promise a way of escape. They provide a way of escape. Each one of the responses of Jesus came as this. It is written. It is written. It is said. In each one of these, Jesus responds directly to the devil with the power of the Word of God. Can I remind you today how important the Bible is for yours and my sanctification, for our growth, for our very spiritual existence. Because the devil's going to attack you And if you and I are where we should be in our walk with God, God's going to give us a verse or a principle that we can claim. But if I'm not walking with God, I am completely unarmed when the devil attacks. How many of you believe that when a predator attacks, it's better to be armed than it is unarmed? Amen? It's better to have a gun and not need it, and need a gun and not have it. It's better to have the Word of God hid in my heart and not need it than it is to not have it there and desperately need it. And all God's people said. Because not a one of us in this room have not experienced that before. I can't tell you how many times after, and it may not even be a big temptation, but it just may be something in my life that I just, and I find myself asking for forgiveness rather than claiming the promises and walking past it. But I got involved in it. And within a day or two or a week after, I read something in my Bible, I read something in a devotional, I heard a song, I heard a message that dealt exactly with what that was. And God smote my heart and said, I was trying to give that to you before it happened. But you didn't listen. There's power in the Word of God. But only when it's in our life and our heart. The devil doesn't fear a Bible in your hands. The devil fears a Bible in your heart. You don't have to memorize great, huge portions of Scripture. Just whenever you're reading the Word of God, pick out some verses. Maybe find some verses that deal specifically with what you struggle with. Here, let me ask you. How many in the room today know what you struggle with? Amen. How many of you believe that it would probably be a good idea if we found some verses that dealt with that and began to memorize those? Or at least write them on a card or put them as a screenshot on our phone, because we struggle with that. There's power in the Word of God. With every temptation that is brought into your life and my life, God provides a way of escape. And that way of escape is right here. It's the Word of God. Because there's power in it, but number three, there are promises to the overcomer. I love promises. I love promises. There is victory in the Word of God. Jesus answered, look at it in verse number four. Jesus answered saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. One of our Baptist distinctives is this: we believe in the authority of Scripture. But there's a difference between believing in the authority of it and claiming the authority of it. Begin to let the Word of God live in your life. Because there is victory in submitting to God. James chapter 4 says, submit yourself therefore to God. You say, what does that mean? What is that area you're struggling in? Present that to God and say, God, I know I'm struggling in this. Matter of fact, I'm not even struggling in it. I fall right into this. Too many times we're like the little boy. The dad told him, he said, son, whenever you go out today, don't swim in the canal. Yes, sir. Later that evening, the little boy came in and he had a wet bathing suit in his hand. The dad said, did you swim in the canal? And the little boy said, yes, sir. He said, why did you swim in the canal? He said, well, I was there and the canal was there. And he said, okay, but that still doesn't clarify it for me. I still don't understand. The little boy said, well, when I left the house this morning, Dad, I took my swimsuit with me. And the dad said, why did you take your swimsuit with you? He said, in case I got by the canal and was tempted to sin, I'd be ready. We laugh at that. But think about your life and my life for the last month. How many times we've given in to temptation because of this simple thing. When we should have been saying no, we said maybe. There is victory in resisting Satan. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Normally we just stop there. The next verse says this, though. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. You know what he says? He's walking about. You have the power to resist. Jesus took the Word of God, not as the living Son of God, but as the Son of Man, a Spirit-filled man, and He addressed every temptation the devil came at Him with the Word of God. Look at verse number 13. And when the devil had ended all... I don't like changing words in the Bible, but I know how the devil is. Sometimes I think it'd be more appropriate for it to say this. But when the devil had ended all these temptations, meaning that he's going to come back again. Amen. When he had ended the temptation, this one, he departed from him. Peter says he's going about like a roaring lion. Beware of the lions whom resist steadfast in the faith. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, understands our temptation. The Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Last slide up there, I think, Amber. When temptation comes, learn to focus on Jesus Christ, not on the temptation. By the way, those are smaller. Some of you are looking, you're like, is that smaller? Yes, I did that on purpose. I tried to make Jesus, his name, really large up there, but I couldn't. So I just wrote that. Really? Quit looking at the temptation and being fascinated by it. Look at Jesus and become fascinated with Him. One of my favorite verses in all the Word of God, just three words at the very beginning. Looking unto Jesus. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. The devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Begin to practice the implementation of the Word of God in your life and in my life. Just grab some verses. Begin to memorize those and meditate on it. You know what you struggle with. I know what I struggle with. And when the temptation to do that comes, pull out that little card and just read that. You don't have to say it out loud. If you want to, you can, but people may look at you a little strange. Look at that and claim that promise. God wants us to resist temptation. He'll forgive us for falling into it, but God desires that His children resist it and demonstrate His power through us. I don't know what you've been going through the last 2 weeks. I don't know. Other than some time on Facebook and all, we pretty much didn't correspond with anybody. We read some of your posts. We read some of that. But I don't know what you've been going through, but I know this. God does. Some in this room, you've fallen. You've failed. Maybe today is the day that you repent and you restart. And to use another R word, you refocus. Beware. Lions. He's there. And the devil is a destroyer, and he wants to destroy you. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.